So I just emphasized one or two things I wanted to say earlier in the day for purpose of, you know, getting the direction as we move into tomorrow, where we have a couple of things to say. Mark 16:15, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I said to us earlier today that the term gospel, which is from the Hebrew word basa, is a kingdom announcement. A kingdom announcement or details about a kingdom. So no doubt, basa, oftentimes in Old Testament books, Hebrew as we love to say, is a military term. Is a military term. Now, I must mention this first and foremost, that the term church, because I'm going to talk a lot tomorrow about the local church, the work of the church, the term church, right, is an Exodus word. If you listen to the series we taught on church in service, if you haven't, try and do that. The church in service. The term church is an Exodus word where God calls people out for a purpose. He calls them out of the world for a purpose. And so when a man or a woman leads, serves in, serves over the church or an assembly of believers, he needs to be fully grounded in what the church is about. A leader, for example, must always know what we are doing. There's nothing as bad as a leader that takes initiatives, maybe from events happening in the world or from trending things. A leader must know what we ought to do. It's a core and vital element of leadership. And when it comes to the church or the ministry, it therefore means the man and woman who lead other believers must know the purpose of what we are doing. Therefore, when God called Moses, he gave him a definite direction. He said, you lead them out of Egypt. You redeem them to the land that I promise your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when you go back to Genesis, you will see the pattern of what he meant. So in leading believers, we call it church, fellowship, ministry, whatever name it is called, you must have a definite direction of what you are doing. So a leader must know what we are doing and also must know what we should do next. If we do something now, what are we doing next? He should know. As we set out in the coming year, the leader should know, what are we doing? It doesn't take initiative for people, guys, what do you think we should be doing now? And what do you think, you guys, what do you like for now? No. By the commission and mandate of the church and the gospel, the leader must know where we are going. Where we are going. So, as a church leader, I'm saying this to some pastors here, everyone must have a clear-cut direction of where we're going to. Tomorrow, we look at a couple of things, which I'm going to call, some of them are baggages, that you can do away with. Some of them will just be, there's nothing you can do about them. We'll learn a few things from Moses, who was a senior pastor in scripture. So the church is an Exodus people, a people that have a definite direction. I must mention this again, that over the years, and I said this in the series I mentioned earlier, that definitions have evolved. Today, when we talk about church, like I said during the series earlier, that you find theologies emerge that are foreign and strange to scripture. That's why I emphasize the concept of the e-ministry. Nothing evil. Now, when we say things like this, people kind of take the wrong end of what you're saying. That, oh, are you trying to say, you know, that a minister should not use the media? That doesn't make sense. If you know me, you know we are our churches in the media. We put out the word of God in the media. So don't hear what I did not say. But you must know what the church is. And because, see, people can applaud what you are doing. You see, human beings are just what they are. They can applaud what you are doing. They can tell you, oh, you know, and they can even give you awards for it. It doesn't mean what you are doing is right. In fact, that people endorse it, that they like it, that they clap for you, does not mean what you are doing is right. The witness of the written word, and of course, leading of the Spirit of God, are two critical elements that you will always require. See, in serving God, you don't call the shots. People who like you don't call the shots. And people who don't like you, neither call the shots. The written word and leading of God's Spirit is the witness, or are the witnesses, to what you ought to do. So, knowing what a church is, or what the church is, important. Because for some of us, you know, we just like to do it with an opportunity. I have money, let me gather people. I have space, let me gather people. I just want to lead people. You know, there are different things that people think it's about the ministry. Different things, different, you know, stuff that they bring into the picture. A young man one time told me he wanted to start a church. So naturally, I'll talk about a bit of that tomorrow. I said, okay, so, I mean, have you prayed? He looked at me like maybe I farted or something. He said, pray about what? He said, the way I do my things, God just told me. And I said, no, I mean, I know God told you. Nobody's doubted that. But have you spent time to pray? I mean, to wait on the Lord? He said, no, I don't wait on the Lord. He said, I just know God wants you to do it. I said, I'm not doubting that. But a true proof of the fact that God wants you to do it is the fact that you are going to invest quality time in prayer. He said, I don't know. So I said, okay. Let's leave the prayer part. That may be stressful. What about evangelism? What's your plan? If say God has sent you, for example, to Abeokuta. Okay, so what's your plan? What's your plan to reach the city? What's your plan? You say, well, what I'm looking at is that we'll set up a Facebook page. Facebook? I said you said Abeokuta, not Facebook. Because that was in the town. He said, I know. He said, look. He said, the way you see ministry. He said, it's too outdated. I said, how? I said, prayer. He said, no. He said, prayer? I said, okay, what about fasting? He said, fasting, okay, how? And evangelism. He said, no. He said, I don't really do evangelism like that. Eh? You know, so, for someone like that, there's really less you can see. And you see, there are people. When you see them talk about, you know, some of these activities, they can talk about prayer. It doesn't mean that they pray. They can talk about this evangelism, you know, but it's totally detached from reality. So I said, young man, I don't know where you learned these things from, but it is not of God. I don't care who likes what you're doing. I don't care how many people will attach themselves to whatever you're doing. It is not of God. Whatever you can do this way successfully without deep, intense, you know, investment in prayer, it can never be God. I said, I can tell you absolutely it is not of God. I said, if you bring a Jesus to me and tells me it's okay, I'll tell that Jesus you are a fake Jesus. It is not possible. So, you must know what church is. What is it about? And sometimes when you ask people these kind of questions, for some of them will say, in fact, there was one guy like that, he said, I just felt you were trying to control me. I said, come, what do you have that I want to control? You know, it's good to ask, you say, what do you have? Tell me what's available to control. I said, tell me now. He said, no, I said, no, just tell me so that I will know. Is it, I need to come and preach in your church? or which church? He said, no. Is it that I need money from you? He said, no. And so tell me the control part. I mean, control must have a purpose. I just want to control it for what purpose? Remote control to change TV? No. It has to be a purpose. I said, you see, you have a problem. You are proud. And you are very arrogant. And that's the truth. So I said, look, this is something very simple. A counsel. You know, I refrain from giving counsels a lot these days. I just watch people and just applaud whatever they say they want to do. JB says it's God. It's God. We thank God for everything. That's it. Because you don't make your counsel cheap anymore. You know? So people, they will listen to you better by their experience. That's really the best thing. You know? So said, this is church. Church requires something intense. It's not a temper. It's not something you have space. Now let me do it. No. Listen to me. To walk in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, particularly to have people come under your care, is something you give your entire life to. Your entire life. Your entire life. And it will be obvious. You give your entire life to it. You don't get into this and start to talk about, I want to do this, I want to do that. No. I refrain from giving some examples here of myself. If I do it, I don't want people to twist it around. But you have to give your entire self to it. If you are not going to be committed fully to it, don't do it. Fully. So if you are in church and they say, can you be a cell leader? Can you be a fellowship something? If you know that you cannot give your entire self to it consistently and fully, don't take it though. Just say, pastor. Look at me very well. I know you think I'm committed. I'm not. I know you think I'm faithful. I'm not. I'm just pretending. Tell the truth. You know, say, pastor, you know, I'm just shouting word. Hey, word, cover the air. It's not true. I'm not covering anything. Just tell the truth. Because if you won't give, the thing about life is that you will find people supporting nonsense. I saw somebody. You know, a young guy explain, you know, why John Mark is not a bad example of a minister. I have never seen it in my life. I've never seen that, and that explanation was so deep. It's so deep that there is no water in the well. I said, you explained John Mark like this. A young guy said, I just feel that, you know, I said, you just feel. You took Bible to feel. And you see people, I've seen people explain away Judas. That it's not like he was wrong like that. Judas even has a church. You're not even afraid. You took Judas to, you look for followers for Judas. You have tried though. You know? And you see people, you know, try to explain away, you know, I call it situational theology. So, look. Don't commit. Don't say, I will do it. Don't say, I can't do this. My prayer life is not sharp at all. After prayer group, there's no group. Say, pastor. No, because it's something that requires a lot. A lot. It requires a lot. It's not, don't say, this thing is too stressful. If you are going to say it's too stressful, don't get involved. See, ministry is stressful. It is God that's stressing you. God will stress you. He will give you what to do. It's not the devil, it's God. It's God that is behind your matter. That is what ministry is. It is stressful. It is stressful. Because that is what it is. That's what we are funny. You now begin to grumble against your pastor, against your leader. Bros, leave the matter and go and free yourself. Free yourself. Someone told me, he said, you know, though I have not been coming to church, though I have not been, you know, but I'm enjoying the Lord. I said, keep enjoying the Lord. That the fact that you have to tell me, I know Satan is living in you. The fact that you have to tell me you are enjoying the Lord, it means Satan has taken over in your life. You know? Because one of the proofs you know you have missed God, you will try to prove a point. The moment you try to show men that you are doing something right, you are doing something wrong. That's what you are doing. You are trying to say, hey, I'm actually doing the work of the ministry. You are not doing it. That is the reason. Anything you need to show men that you are not doing it. You are not. You know, somebody was telling a friend, he said, you see that guy just shouting word. He said, yeah, his entire ministry, I learned that not up to 20. I said, there's no problem. Is 20 a bad number? It's not a bad number. Someone say, there's nothing I'm going to do. Think I'll not be flashing pictures. The moment I do that, I'm cursed. I don't give a damn how you think. I'm serving somebody. That's what matters. I'll not be putting, to prove a point. To who? That means you are not doing God's will. When you are doing the right thing, you don't need to show anybody. Just do the right thing. Are you following what I'm saying? So, the ministry requires full attention. How do you think Jesus in Luke 9? Somebody came and said, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. He said, you think I have a house? The guy never heard that before. You think because it's a miracle worker, I can just say, pam, pam, 6-bedroom. Pam. God doesn't have a house, oh. Say, birds of the air. See, they have where to stay. Foxes, I said, I don't even have this opportunity. The guy is saying, this won't go hard though. He said, sir, I'm here. He said, look, I know I'm called to this work. And people can say flowery words. I know this is my vocation. When I was a baby, I heard the voice of God. Good. But you so sir, my father, just die. I know, you know, being an African, I'm an Ijebu boy. We have to do, you know, you're supposed to say, somebody has died for you. If I say it in Yoruba, is it better in Yoruba, actually? So he said, you know, and Jesus said, you know, Jesus would have said, hey guy, that's fine, I understand your predicament. That's what I would have said as a pastor. I don't want anybody to call me an evil person. I said, wow, I understand. You know, I know you have to take care of this matter. He said, let the dead bury the dead. That can't be God. Jesus, that's how I knew Jesus is not God. God doesn't talk like that. He's compassionate, he's loving, he's kind. So let the dead bury the dead. He said, you go and preach the gospel. Is everything about the gospel? Someone told me. I said, let's edify the church. It was in the 90s or so. He said, sir, even me, I'm not edified. He said, let me edify myself. His sister told me years ago. She said to me now. She said, you know, you have taught us the word. When people start talking like that, expect a shocker. You have taught us the word. I've been really blessed by your team. It was 1997 or so. So I've been really blessed by you've trained us, you've taught us. I was listening. I said, but sir, I want to be sincere with you. I said, go ahead. I know you've taught us about the Holy Ghost being our comforter. I was looking at her. She said, I need a human comforter. At that point, he just said, God will supply all your needs. According to his glory by Christ Jesus, I just let her go. So I know, took a while to explain. No, the person knew Paracletos. So. Did I say, but you know, I need this. So the next time I saw the person with gold, gold tooth, the next time I said, comforter has come. So, see, you are not doing anybody by backsliding. You think you are doing me? You are not backsliding. You are not like backsliding. You are not doing so. You think you are hurting someone by backsliding. I'm going to backslide. I'm going to pass tide. You now put something on Facebook. You now do your hairstyle, put a ring to show your pastor, you are my former pastor. So we'll not be feeling bad. Hey, you didn't jilt your pastor. You think you jilted your pastor? No, you backslid. You are now working for the devil. Simple. That's nothing. You are. No. I told someone that I said, go and backslide. Chester, you mean that? I said, go and backslide. Are you the first person? I said, I'm not a bad pastor. Jesus had 12. Judas was one of them. No, don't call me a bad pastor. 12. Jesus could. Fellowship. Jesus cell meeting. Sir. One brother. Judas. I said, so you can go. He said, sir, do you mean it? I said, I mean it from the depth of my heart. Think I just started this last night. Want to threaten me with backsliding? For my sight! Amen? So, don't hold anybody to ransom in your service of God. It is your commitment. Give yourself to it. If you're not going to do it fully, leave it. I told you, ministry is full time. It is full time. It's full time. Which means it will subsume your career. Not that you have a career. You will be conscious that career must glorify God. In your office, you know you are a Christian, you're a minister. You can't behave anyhow. In your business, you have to do the same thing. In your neighborhood, because it has taken over your life. In your family. In the world. In your alumni group. Don't get to alumni group and then turaka. That means remove body. So you know, among my former class, you are still a woman of God. A man of God. That's what you still are. So, it's a full time dedication. Don't go for manager's retreat. And cast off restraint. It's a manager's retreat, but you are a man of God in a manager's retreat. Don't go for a training in Europe and then cast off restraint. You are a full-time minister there. Hallelujah. That's how one, I'm forgetting that guy's name. He was an evangelist. And he said he had mission. It was TJ's friend. He said, I have mission. And we will be praying together. And all that. You know, saying, he's just thinking. He's thinking that, is this how we are going to be doing life? We said, yes. We'll just be doing life like this. He said, we'll just be praying, go to preach, come back, read the Bible. He said, you see, that's all. I said, well, you told us you had a mission, a passion for mission. He said, yes, it's not this kind of passion that we are carrying. So one day, I went to visit my friend, who was his friend. He's not my friend directly. So he said, Shego, come and do something. We now went to, we're supposed to be holding fellowship. He had drank palm wine. That story is so funny. I don't want to give you all the details. I'm telling you, the guy had passion for mission, though. They had to carry him. He had drunk. Tell us that. So watch the thing that you want. Amen? Because you will become what you never desired. So don't threaten anybody with, I don't want to serve God again. Don't. I don't want to be in this church again. Don't worry. Somebody will sit in your seat. Amen? We are not planning a church by the grace of God, and I believe that for all our pastors here, all our ministries here, where somebody's seat will be empty. Nobody's seat will be empty in Jesus' name. If you leave, somebody will sit there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I told somebody years ago, I said, as you are going, somebody will come and do what you are doing. I said, that was what I prayed for years ago. As you are going, somebody will just do what you are doing. I said, it's not as I want to do. I said, no, I'm not saying you should not do it. I'm just telling you what will happen when you do it. Amen. Up, Jesus. Very good. So, don't threaten anybody with service. You are the one that said you want to serve God. Serving God is stressful. That's what it is. Stressful. Very stressful. I told some of you the story at the workers' convention. When I was going to have my first son, we were at camp meeting, 2006. And I was taking a session. And they said, okay, he's born. And I didn't go until late night, because there was traffic on the express. And when I went to see him and the mom, came back to the camp, nobody knew I left. Because we went very late and I came back very late in the morning. I waited. Not, you know, no. You can't say, guy, you know, can you take my session for me? Eh? I don't born. That's not part of ministry. Okay, are you the one that was pregnant? Praise the Lord. No. You see, I know people can tell you, no, I understand. It's men that understand, though. God doesn't understand, though. Men will tell you they understand. Me too, I will understand. But it's not God that is understanding you. The understanding is not with God. So, ministry, you must know exactly what you are doing. You must know exactly what you are getting into. Praise the Lord. So he said, even though definitions have changed over time of serving the Lord, a guy told me, he said, I like the vigil of our church. I said, why? He said, because they always serve us tea and bread. In what? In vigil. He said, yes, because we can get tired. I said, okay, when do you start the vigil? He said, about 10. When do you finish? 2. And you are taking tea. In ACO, and you now read Peter, James, and John slept in the high mountain. And you are saying, why did they sleep? If they slept, did he not die? Say they give them tea, VG. Someone told me that in their church, they allow them to fast and take Sprite and Coke. I said, that's not a pastor. That's not a pastor. That's a what do you call this? Life coach. That's not a pastor. That's a life coach. A pastor told you to be drinking coke, a pastor. Are you Edomite? Or Amalekite? You are drinking coke, a fasting. So what were you fasting about? That's why when somebody came for WCC, I went to book forever. Someone is by say, I break my fast by 12. That's the God of the midday sun. That's the best thing is worshiping. He's the God of the midday sun. You are not fasting. Don't deceive yourself. Some people say they are fasting. They say they're not taking anything, food, but they're taking eclairs. Eclairs. Chocolate. I will never worship mommy God. Chocolate. You are taking chocolate. You can't make heaven. Chocolate. Imagine. I remember when we were even Christians, very young. We just saw this brother. He will always be in the shower. Oh God, what's going on? He'll be in the shower and just be in the shower for longer. Chocolate, eclairs in fasting. So it's not eclairs like that, sir. What kind of Joko Milo? Fasting. Someone guy told us he was fasting there. I said, open your mouth. We just saw, how do I say it in English? Say, I said, bro,
Bro, this granite in your mouth, bro. I say, hey, is it there? I say, it's there, oh.
Bro.
Granite. He didn't just show, he didn't, I say, bro.
Hallelujah. That's how we plan to fast. What year was it? Don't tell me, so I won't give you too many details. I said, let's fast. We all said, Lord, we sang a song at Star Palace. Star Palace, by Eku Road. God of great courage. People were crying. Okay, what you say? We're going to fast for 30 days. No, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. We're going to fast for 2 weeks. Yes, yes, yes. So the first day, I now went to the brethren's house so that we can pray and close. Ah, I saw Brussels, so and so. Fufu. Fufu and Egusi. He said that God told him not to fast. Bro. Bro. He said God told him not to fast. I said, when did he tell you? Yesterday we were Star Palace. He said, that's just his leading. I said, I don't want to enter. I said, that one came with bread and beans. I said, bro, he said, he just was feeling somehow that he would join us tomorrow. I said, who are the us? You see, what we don't know is that you are contributing to your own detriment. You can explain to me, what will I do? I won't take the fufu now and throw it away. I won't take the bread and beans from you and say, in Jesus' name, I curse it. It can't happen. I'll just be looking at you. And the one who sent you will also be looking at you. We're all looking at you together. We'll just be looking at you. I mean, so your commitment to these things is not about people. It's a die-hard dedication to do what God has asked you to do. If you are going to lead the people of God, you have to know exactly what it entails. And what it entails requires dedication. You can't tell that people are disturbing you. People are disturbing you. How can a doctor say he's having many patients? I don't know what's happening. The kind of hospital is this? Why are we having patients? I mean, you are a doctor. You say you're having patients. What should you have before? Entertainers? You say you are in the ministry. You say you have to check up on people. I have to teach them all the time. I have to follow. That is the job. That's the job. That is what it is. It's not your pastor stressing you. It is God that is stressing you. Every time you murmur on those things and you think it's your pastor you're murmuring against, no, it is God you're murmuring against. When the children of Israel murmured against Moses, scripture says they murmured against the Lord. It's not your pastor. It's what it is. If you will not be stressed, don't serve God. Serving God is not a hobby. Serving God is not extracurricular activity. Serving God is not what you enjoy. You don't enjoy serving God. You are only fulfilled doing it. I'll say it again. Serving God is not a hobby. It's not extracurricular activity. Serving God is an obedience to do what he wants you to do at any time that he wants you to do it. And hear me. He uses men to tell you what he wants you to do. No matter what anybody has redefined it for you, it doesn't change anything. So when you are in the ministry, when you are in an assembly, the congregation know exactly what it is. And this is what it is. No matter what definitions have changed. So quick one. We said gospel is kingdom detail. Gospel is a military term. That's what it is. It's a militant work. A military terminology. Many times in the Old Testament, I read many of those scriptures to us earlier, it speaks about the news of a king or a military victory. So for it to be called Basa, for the gospel of Christ to be called a Basa, it means the person we are talking about is a man of war. It means the church in another dimension can be called a military people, an army. Hence, we have the routine, regimented routine, discipline, sometimes very rigorous one, of military people. Tomorrow I'll go into a bit more details of what a shepherd is. A shepherd is not somebody who is just a nice guy. Look at the history of those called shepherds. Abel, Genesis 4. He was persecuted, hated, bitterness against him, and he was killed. That's the first known person in scripture called a shepherd. If you backtrack a bit to his father, Adam, Satan came after him to tempt him. It's a spiritual responsibility. Then we see the man, Moses. Moses' responsibility was to lead the people of God out of bondage. It's a spiritual walk. He had engagements, encounter in the supernatural. You look at when he chose Joshua to stand in his stead. Numbers 27 and verse 17. Numbers 27 and verse 17. He may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep with no shepherd. You see that phrase again in 1 Kings 22 and verse 27. 1 Kings 22 and verse 27. Sorry, verse 17. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. Now, these are people with no king, no leader. Somebody else I'll mention is David. Look at his CV. Look at his CV. When Saul asked him, are you sure you are the one that wants to tackle Goliath? Look at his CV. First Samuel 17. What did he tell Saul? Look at his CV. He said, your servant, verse 34, kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear. He took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him. I smote him. I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him with his beard and smote him and slew him. He said, both the lion and the bear. So he saw it as a responsibility to confront Goliath. It is not a job for sissies. The job of leading God's people is not a job for sissies. It's not a casual responsibility. It's a responsibility that requires a routine of a military soldier. One in an army. That's why Paul said to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That's the terminology. In Ephesians 6 and 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Take unto yourself the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the devil in the evil day. I've been done not to stand. Stand therefore. Stand therefore. He said, you put on the helmet of salvation, or the breastplate of righteousness. He says, your feet shod about with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He says, you have the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, and the belt of truth, follow me, the sword of the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You can see that it is a militarized activity. It's not for sissies. It's not something you do. You just say, okay, let's just be organizing programs. Some people think it's just going program. Doing program. So, whatever is in their head, let's bring somebody to come and sing. Let's do flyer. Let's do this one. And they are not looking at the impact, the edification of the people there. So, you are particular about organization, which is good. It's part of ministry. Particular about media presence. Particular about flyer. You go and be looking nice. I saw one person one time, we're going to organize a program. I said, you want to organize a program? The next thing she was doing, she was going to get a new cloth for program. New cloth, looking nice. This is not ministry. This is not ministry. Oh, is it wrong to look well? You should look well. But that is not the meeting. It's not your looking well that will edify the saints. It's not your good speaking English. Your ability to come on Facebook and say, hello, saints. Hello, saints. This is Christian Oyeka speaking to you. I just want to tell you, I love you. That is not ministry. That is, yes, we do that, you know, to appreciate people, to, you know, show felicitation, but that is not what the ministry is. The ministry is a supernatural activity. Supernatural activity. Before you say hello guys, you have lost your voice in prayer. Before you say hello guys, you have almost lost your energy in fasting. Don't learn bad things. Bad things. Bad things. Before you go into that deep exegetical exegesis. How much time have you spent waiting on the Lord for these same people? For this meeting alone, whenever meetings like that, I do vigils daily. This is what it requires. You don't just come and say, let's just do program. Let people just get excited. That's nonsense. That is not what the ministry is about. As a pastor, how many times in a month do you take out time to wait upon the Lord for the church to pray? I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. How many times? Some of you are always on Facebook posting. You have canceled everybody but yourself. Posting, explaining, just looking for necessary attention. Yet, the people you pastor, you don't even see them. Is not tea party. Told a guy, you started a fellowship in January. By March, sir, by March, he had missed 6 meetings. He had something to do. He was starting somewhere. He has to say, you don't have anything to do. In January, you started. By March, you had missed 6 meetings. Who is doing you? You don't even have the dedication for the work. You don't have it. You can't tell me you are praying for people you don't have time for. It's not possible. I know you don't pray for them. If you pray, you will make yourself available. This is a full-time work. You have to engage other secular things. Family, career, business, you are doing everything together. Being a good citizen, taking care of your health. You are doing all that together. That is what makes it ministry. And you have to excel in those things too. Because you must be an example to the flock. So you engage yourself. You ensure that, like Paul said in to Ephesus, he said, you know by we have led by example. You can see our hands. We are working diligently. In Thessalonica, I told them the same thing. You know by our example. And he was talking about a secular life. You have no choice. How would you? March, January. Somebody started a church. I said, I thought you just started a church last 2 months. I already see invitation. They're calling you everywhere. He said, and this guy, he has a call. I said, Oga, you are not serious. You are not serious. At least first 2-3 years, call off every invitation. Sit until this work is established. Which one do you want to do? Do you want to go around the body of Christ? You want to pastor? Choose one thing. You are jumping everywhere. What are you looking for? See, I was an invited minister for years before I started pastoring fully. In 52 weeks, I will have meetings 51 weeks. There was a day I preached in 4 states in 1 day. Jumping from pillar to post. A prominent preacher in Nigeria said, I give you the keys to all our churches in Nigeria and Africa. So, I was, and you know, now let me mention this. I never used to take honorarium. I'll go from place to place. One day I sat down and I told myself, Chego, you are not making disciples. You are only going around displaying gifts. There is nobody you are raising. I gave, you know, you give yourself brain. This is not ministry. I will go there and say, wow, we were so blessed. Bye bye. No tangible fruit. Nobody to say you are raising and you are spending activity all over the place. You are on flyer. They appreciate you. As soon as you are done one program, nobody is going, can you come and do 7-day revival? I say, I'm here. I'm already revived for it. And I'll jump on the train. I preach everywhere. And in fact, my itinerary was so busy. In my first year in the university, a whole team waited for me to finish the exam so that we can travel out of Nigeria. I've been to virtually every state in Nigeria except one. And I said this had happened before year 2000. I'm saying almost 22 years ago. Went from coast to coast. So I'm not against it. It's not evil. But when you have chosen to oversee people, you have to create time for them. Choose between showboy and pastor. Choose one. Do you want to disciple people? You see, when you have job to do, I'm talking to many of you young guys, you will be fighting for flock all over social media. Arguing. First time you were on tight. When you left tight, eternal salvation. You are now, is it on now? You are on now. Oh no, loyalty. Is that the next one? Human worship. You are jumping on one issue. There must be an issue you are tackling. You don't even have people. It's issue. You just issue. Can't you face the flock? Is that right? There's one issue you are tackling. I learned that Winner Chapel is not doing this. I learned that Paul and Richard did this. Is that your business? You can't even gather 5 people for 6 months. You are pursuing somebody that has 100,000 members. Who is doing you? 5 people for 6 months. You can't keep them. You are pursuing people that have 1 million people as their responsibility. The person doing you is anointed. Issue. You jump on that one. Some people are praying too much. Some evangelism. Some people are giving. So somebody, he said, some people are dropping money for some pastors. Is that biblical? I said, drop your offering back. It's the fish that they like.
You, are you dropping anywhere? They lack the feet. Let them drop it there. Did you drop it in the offering bag? After 100 naira, you are doing exegesis. You gave 100 naira. You are doing exegesis over people that give 10,000. Don't let me see what's in my mind. Who can make progress in ministry with people like you? You don't like feet. Don't drop at the feet. Put it in offering bag. How much did you put there? I call someone and say, how much did you put there? Say, offer and say, what is it? Bring it out. 200. With this your big car. You drop 200. Any church that relies on you will fail. They will fail. But you know how to say, we don't tithe because you are tight. We don't tithe. We are now, we give as we are led. Can't you see the copper in your life? You are criticizing people because of your own bad habits. You don't have time for people that you say God has called you for. You go ahead. You go and obtain visa to another country. Forsaking, forgetting that there are people you are committed to. You can't make progress in ministry. You can't. Because God rewards faithfulness. God will never reward unfaithfulness. Don't let anybody deceive you. God will never do it. I said this to some of our leaders the last time. I said, if you give somebody 100,000 to do business, and the guy says he wants to sell akara, and then he says, akara is bean cake. It's akara. What's bean cake? It's not bean cake, it's akara. And the guy says he wants to sell akara. He says after 6 months, you bring money. Then they come back after 6 months. Where is the capital? He said, one day when I was trying to, the oil poured down. Okay. Second day, God, the beans was spoiled. Third day, the water was bad. Fourth day, people stole it. Why were you not stealing? Okay, where is the capital? I have just 10K left. That 10K, I had to give my brother. He was sick. Okay, fine. God bless you and your brother. May they be healed in Jesus' name. Then come back the next day. I know that if you give me 1 million, I will sell the akara very well. If you give that person 1 million, it's either you stole the money or you're a complete idiot. Now imagine the 100,000 to be souls. They gave you 2 people to follow up. The excuses you gave were more than the souls you were told to follow up. 2 souls to follow up. You sent 20 excuses. That's 1 to 10 excuses. And you are saying, we reach the world. Which world? Who is going to ask you to reach the world? The world has reached you. Where is the dedication you are giving to it? Where is the commitment? You want the word of God to grow. You want the word of God to grow in Nigeria, in Africa, in Ghana, in India, in America. What dedication are you giving to it? What? Apart from watching videos of other ministries, apart from knowing what is trending on Twitter, what exactly are you doing in ministry? Tell me. Apart from getting information around the body of Christ, what are you doing in ministry? If you have friends and all you discuss are other churches, your friends and you are for perdition. Your friends and you are for perdition. And all you discuss are other people. You are not challenging yourself. But Shegun, don't see you fast again. No. Shegun, when was the last time you went for evangelism? I've been to your house 4 times now. In those days, I'll see you playing a teaching the whole day. I can't see it again. Those are the kind of friends you should have. That you should have. Not you'll be sitting down discussing people who are active for the Lord. They may not know what you know, but they are doing what you are not doing. So the ministry is full-time dedication. You say, I want to start a work. They give you a prophecy to go and start a work. Everybody is now starting a work. You want to start a work without working. When you have heard that prophecy and you get into the work of ministry, your eye will clear. You will see God. You will see God. Your eye will clear. You will see that prophecy requires warfare. Paul told Timothy,
He says, prophecy has gone before you. 1 Timothy 1:18. When you hold on to them, you will wage a good warfare. Don't leave this conference without becoming militant for the gospel. Don't leave this conference and you are still doing jelly Christianity. Don't leave this conference without rededicating yourself to a life of consistent diligence, dogged diligence to face your work at all times. I told you years ago, I'm repeating again, face your work. Nobody will reward you for you looking at somebody else's work. Face your work. Face the souls under you. Don't you have enough problems with the souls under you? Somebody you are discipling is taking drugs. You are focusing on Christ Chapel. Somebody under you is cannot pray for successfully. You are focusing on Christ Embassy. Don't you have enough to focus on? Somebody that you are teaching God's word says 1 Corinthians 26:4. You are not focusing on that. You ask somebody to give prophecy, he says, la 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 kuku la la. You are not focusing on that. You are watching video. Who is doing you? You have your own work. People, you got born again, right? They are not strong. They are not yet strong. They are not dedicated. You practically have to force them to service. You are not focusing on that one. You have time for trending video. A demon is living in you. Focus on your work. Focus on your work. Each man to his own. Each man to his own. Focus on your work. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Can you hear what I'm saying tonight? You must have a militant approach to the work of the ministry. A dogged, die-hard attitude. Knowing how to face your work. Nobody will reward you. I say it like this. It says, the pastors know what I'm saying. Even people that says community, who are leaders, I tell them, your business is not somebody else's church. Face the one we give you. You don't have a business canceling somebody in the gondo when you are K2. That is not your work. You don't have a business canceling somebody in Yaba when you are in Somolu. It is not your work. Don't you have enough people that are not busy that cancel the body of Christ? When you are not busy, you'll be looking for who to cancel around the body of Christ. When you have people, don't you have disciples that I went to follow up one brother? I thought he was growing spiritually. When I got to his house, the kind of James Bond he did for me. Hey, whoa. They said he's not there. And I could see him. Say, he's not there. I said, he's not there. I said, he's not there. I said, what is it? So I tried to walk away. So I just saw him at the back of the house. I said, brother, he jumped the fence and ran away. Is that not enough work for me? I now leave that place. I now be focusing on another church. See, they're not even teaching the word. See, you cannot even explain 1 John 3:1. Is that the word? Is that the word? Your own 1 John 3:1 just jumped the fence. It's your work. Have a militant, dedicated attitude to the work of the ministry. Someone asked me, said, does it mean we should not correct error? If the error does not affect your church, what's your own? Error, that's what you are all over the body of Christ. Are you not in error? Error, that's what you are, error. And when we look at what you are preaching, there's nothing there. Finish work. Christ has done it all. What has he done? Tell us. It will have eternal life. What's eternal life? It's the quality of life within the church. You don't know anything. It's just cliche, you understand. Finish your work! You think at the end of your life, you will be without souls before Jesus, but you tell him, I've kept the faith. Which faith? I've kept the faith. I ensured that I understood context and pretext. Okay, after your pretext and context, please, who are the souls? He said, no, there are no souls. I just ensured that I knew the word very well. He said, well, I think you should be in the kingdom of darkness. The day you find out, you go on social media looking for what to read. The devil is on your soul. What can I read? Let me just be. I just want to be blessed generally. Yeah, I'm just going around. Let me see. Cool teaching. This is cool, man. This is cool. Thank you. You're a gift to the body. Everybody is a gift to your body. A gift. Thank you. You don't have work. Scripture says, woe to them that is in Zion. Let me say this, and I have a word for all of us who are young people. Solomon said, it's a good thing if a man bears his yoke when he's young. Those who started serving God at old age know what I'm saying. They struggle. Those who are born when they're young know what I'm saying. They struggle. Do not waste your young years. Don't waste it. Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't waste it. You will come back to what you are doing and you will not be able to do it again. A dedicated, dogged, militant approach to the gospel. Because the gospel is a military news. It's a military announcement. That's what it is. It requires commitment. It requires a full-time dedication. So managing your life affairs, managing things around you, you yet keep a dedicated approach. You are going to lead people, whether they are 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, will be dedicated. 3, 4 members. Some years back, I was teaching every day, fasting, at least in a month, I'll do 21 days. Regularly. And I told them, I'm not just doing this for you alone. I'm doing this for more things in the future. Regularly. And I will walk to the fellowship. Go for follow up, Monday till evening. Every day. And you know, and sometimes because you are young, you will discover that maybe at that point you are still learning. So one brother like that, I had followed him up. He was well followed up. So I brought him to the meeting. I went to bring, you know, dude, I went to bring yourself. He said, I'm coming. He said, no, we are coming together. He said, no, I will join you. I said, oh, don't worry. I'm not in a hurry. Let's go. So I dragged him to the service. You know, when you used to have 2, then you have 3, you know, you teach better. You say, you know, the word of God is real. There's the integrity of God's word. They were looking. So what all of a sudden, as I was preaching, he got up, wanted to use the restroom. I said, go anywhere. I left the poopy following him to the restroom. Oh, yeah, go and we are here. This way will not go. I said, no, finish weeing, I'm here. Don't worry, the 2 people there, they know me, there's no problem. They know I did not run away. I brought him back. Sit down. You come and spoil my joy. When I'm already happy that there are now 3, not 2. You now want to go and wee. What kind of devilish wee is that? Wee and come back, man of God. Hallelujah. Dedication. One time like that. I was doing a series for some folks like that. And my body was aching. I was throwing up. I would throw up before the session, throw up during it, throw up afterwards. So when I told them after the series, I said, yes. I said, we have to give ourselves to it. I said, I'm not throwing up again. I'm not. It's something we have told ourselves we will do for the rest of our lives. That is what we have said. Come rain, come shine. It's a dedication you must have. So, let me round up by saying this again. If you are overseeing people, all my younger friends, give yourself to the flock. Pay attention to the flock. God did not send you to the body of Christ. He sent you to the church you are pastoring. When you are sent to the body of Christ, you won't be the one telling us. We will see it. Focus on the people you are pastoring. Spend more time. Pray for them. That Facebook live you are doing every day. Why not have live discipleship with real people? And spend that time teaching, ministering to them, praying for them. Acts 20:28. Take it to yourself and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Feed the church of God which he has purchased with the blood of his own. I leave you tonight with these words. To focus on the men and women under your care. 2, 3, 4, 5. Whatever you pay attention to will always grow. Whatever you pay attention to will always grow. The reason why ministry hardly grows under some of us is because we are not paying attention to it. Pay attention to people. They will grow spiritually. They will be stronger spiritually. And whatever you are doing will also blossom numerically. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Give it all that it takes. Hear what I say. Give it all that it takes. Give it all that it requires. God is a God of His promise. He's a God of faithfulness. Whatever He has sent you to do, He will back it up. He will stand with you. He will stand there. But give it what it takes. I say this to you, I say it to myself. I say it to you, I say it to myself. I say it to you, I say it to myself. So I'm not preaching at you alone, I'm preaching at myself. Give it all it takes. And you will see it blossom. Stand to your feet and pray for yourself. Pray for yourself.